What's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. What's yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. What's mine is God's, and I'm going to share it. What's ours is God's, and we're going to share it. Which of these four statements describes your relationship to money? Are you an owner, a thief, perhaps a socialist, or a generous steward of the sacred trust God has given to you? Are you and your spouse financial soulmates? And whose money is it, anyway? The answer to that last question reveals whether God is first in your finances or not. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it. I'm Ron Jones. Something good starts right now.
Hello and welcome to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Crossway Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. I'm Brian Davis, always glad to have you with us. Have you ever wondered where the concept of tithing began? Contrary to what you may have heard, it came along well before the Old Testament law. Today, Ron wraps up his teaching series, I Resolve, by reminding us that when God asks us to tithe, he's not wanting something from us. He's wanting something for us. Online, you'll find us at somethinggoodradio.org, where you can hear any of Ron's messages on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Download or subscribe to the podcast at Spotify, at Apple Podcasts, or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Now, here's Ron with part two of his message, Resolving the Stewardship of Your Treasure.
Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." A proportional gift will yield a proportional response from God. I have people say, "Pastor, should I tithe on the gross or on the net?" Yeah. Do you want a gross blessing or a net blessing? I mean, what are we talking about here? What kind of proportional response do you want? One of the beauties about tithing, again, as a general starting point in our giving, is it is proportional. We're not talking about equal gifts, but equal sacrifice, right? 10% of your income is different than 10% of my income. Kind of reminds me of a story I heard about a guy who made an appointment to go see his pastor. And he comes in and says, "Pastor, I heard your message a couple weeks ago about giving and about tithing. And I just want you to know, I'm a commission sales rep. And it wasn't too long ago, I was making about $1,000 a month. And I took you up on that tithing thing to kind of, jumpstart my giving. And I've been writing a check for $100 a month. And I gotten pretty good about that. And then my business started to grow, and now I'm making $10,000 a month. And I thought, wow, now I got to write a check for $1,000 or more. It just seems to be too much. But I stretched and I did that. And my business keeps growing. And Pastor, you wouldn't believe this. Just last week, I closed a deal, a $100,000 commission. He says, "Pastor, I'm just having a hard time writing a $10,000 check. I don't know that I can do that." Pastor says, "Well, I understand." He says, "Can I pray for you?" He says, "Yeah, Pastor, I really need some prayer about this." This is great. They bowed their heads. Pastor said, "Lord, you've heard this man's struggle in his heart. You know what he's dealing with. Will you do everything in his power to reduce his income back to $1,000 a month so that he can be comfortable about giving a tithe of his income?" Yeah, it gets harder, right? The bigger the numbers get. But you can't outgive God. He says, "Test me." Catherine and I will come up this year celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary. Thank you. When we got engaged, we had an 8-month engagement. And, we talked about a whole host of things, went through premarital counseling. We came upon the money question, how are we going to handle money in our marriage? And I said, "Well, honey, I've been practicing tithing and tithing plus for quite some time." And she says, "What's a tithe?" She gulped. Because she will tell you back then she was a tipper, not a tither. And after she paid her bills and after she had her fun, she said, I might have dropped, well, a leftover gift in the offering plate, maybe 20 bucks here, 30 bucks there, depending on how much fun I had. I said, well, you know, and we talked about that. And we started our marriage giving to God first. And with tithing, 10% as a starting point. We're beyond that now. Okay, the New Testament talks about growing in the grace of giving, growing in your response to the grace of God in your life. For some of you, it's been easy to kind of do the tithe thing. You need to grow. You know, it's about the heart. It's about faith. Catherine will look you square in the eye today when it comes to giving and say, what are you waiting for? Serious? Some of this kind of reminds me of a little boy. Imagine this little boy growing up in poverty, so much so that he wasn't sure where his next meal would come from. And he developed what's called food insecurity. You ever met somebody like that who's maybe homeless? This little boy was adopted into a new family that had, you know, three meals a day, and this was new to him. And his adoptive mother baked him a cake, and he started eating that cake. He loved that cake. It was his favorite cake, and his adoptive mother comes up to him and says, can I have a bite of the cake? And he says, no. Not because he was selfish, because he was scared. He was insecure. He wasn't sure where the next meal was coming from because he was food insecure. He didn't know that his adoptive mother had three more boxes of cakes mix in the pantry and enough money to go to the grocery store and buy 10 more. Sometimes we're scared to take the financial step of faith because there's an insecurity in us. And we don't know that our Heavenly Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, all right? He has no scarcity problem. There's always an abundance, and you can't out-give God. I know this by 3-4 decades of just personal experience. And God is always pushing us. This has been, the last 3 or 4 years, the most expensive time in Catherine and I's married life. 2 kids in college in private school. Try that one on for size. We sort of planned along the way for, you know, normal school. And the athletic scholarships pay for a portion of it, but not all of it. This has been an expensive time. I have ample reason to say we're cutting back on our giving now. We increased our giving. We increased it. And we've seen God show up in ways. I had no idea where he had the box of cake mix, all right, to deal with my insecurities and my wife. But my wife is the one leading out on this now, all right? So I'm just saying to you, friends, these principles work. The scripture is true. God's character doesn't change from one covenant to the next. The obligation, the command, yes, his character, his promise, his invitation to test him. One more section of scripture. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. My doctoral research in financial stewardship in the local church took me heavily to this section of scripture because it's the largest section of scripture found anywhere in the New Testament given to financial giving. Let me give you quickly the background here. Paul is writing to the Corinthians and inviting them to participate in an offering for the poor in Jerusalem. He's not talking about their giving to their local church there in Corinth. He's gone around to all the churches that he's planted, and he says, listen, on behalf of the poor in Jerusalem, I'm asking you to give, presumably over and above what you're doing in your local church to help the poor in Jerusalem. He talks about all of that. He talks about how the Macedonians, who were the poorest of the poor, gave the largest gift proportionally. And he brags about the Macedonians. And he uses the Macedonians and their generosity to encourage the Corinthians to do the same. It's the largest section of Scripture. A lot of the terminology used in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 kind of sounds like what was called the free will offering in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there were 2 ways that the Israelites gave. They gave tithes, and then they gave something called, over and above their tithe, a free will offering.
still ahead. The second half of today's Something Good radio message with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Crossway Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. If you haven't already, stop by our website, somethinggoodradio.org, when you get a chance. You'll find our streaming platform for the entire media ministry, as well as our digital library, where you can search for biblical answers to your most challenging questions. Watch, listen, and download for free. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Let me ask you, how's your prayer life going? Have you become a little complacent? Do you find yourself spending all your time talking about what you want, what you need, how you feel, and skipping right over the part where you used to praise God for who He is, thank Him for His grace and mercy, and pray for the needs of others? If so, maybe it's time you went back to the fundamentals, to the way Jesus taught us to pray. That's what Dr. Ron Jones has done in his latest book, The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. This outstanding resource is available now at somethinggoodradio.org. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend and request a 2-pack for $50, a 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099. Or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23456. Ron joins me in the studio in just a few moments, so stay with us. But first, let's listen closely as he shares the second half of today's Something Good radio message, Resolving the Stewardship of Your Treasure.
The tabernacle, the temple, all the building projects in the Old Testament that King David led and Solomon led, they were all built with free will offerings. And it was voluntary. Nothing compulsory between you and the Lord in response to what God has done in your life. Free will offering. Think about that when I read these verses from 2 Corinthians 9. Beginning in verse 6, where Paul is summarizing, he says, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. And each one must give as he has decided in his own heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Some people have taken this to mean, yeah, see, we're not under law, we're under grace. Give whatever you want, and where 95% of church-going people end is 2 or 3%. I'm just asking the question, is that a reasonable response to the grace of God in our lives? No, when you decide in your heart as a New Covenant Christian, take into account the fullness of Scripture, okay? I concluded, and we've practiced this for 25 years of our marriage, you know, the minimum expression of generosity found in the Bible is 10%. Just a starting point. Jesus was impressed with a widow who came to the temple one day and dropped in 2 lepta. It's like dropping in 2 pennies. And he was astounded by that. And the disciples are looking at him like, well, what's that all about? He says she gave everything. Where's that kind of radical generosity? One of the most generous people in my church experience as a pastor was in the first church that I served in Houston, Texas, was a single mom. She was all over this tithing thing. She didn't have 2 nickels to rub together. But she tithed, she gave over and above that. She's like, Pastor, anytime you want somebody to encourage the church family in giving, let me at them, all right? Each one must decide in his heart, not reluctantly. And then just in case you're still saying, I can't afford to do this, listen to this. And God is able, say that with me, God is able. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times you may abound in every good work. He's not going to let you go. He's not going to let you down. You can't outgive him. Give, and it shall be given unto you. He who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. So, you got Farmer Brown up here, And then you got Farmer Jones over here, and they both have a bag of seed. And Farmer Brown, he wants as much of a big harvest at harvest time as Farmer Jones does, but Farmer Brown's holding on to his bag of seed. He reaches in there and just grabs a little handful of it and, tosses a little bit of seed out there into his field. What kind of harvest do you think Farmer Brown's going to get? A little tiny harvest. Farmer Jones, on the other hand, he took, farming 101. He takes that big bag of seed and he dumps it out there on his field, scatters it in all directions until the bag is empty. Because every farmer understands he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. He who sows bountifully reaps bountifully. Paul, get this. Paul is using this farming analogy specifically in the largest section of Scripture in the New Testament given to the subject of giving. And giving, what did I say? How do you invest in your heavenly portfolio? Through sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. And you have a heavenly Father who's an incredible farmer. And he can make what you've sown reap in a way that you're never going to be without. You won't. You won't. Here's the deal. And again, tithing is just a starting point. Soar beyond that. But you can either take 100% responsibility of 100% of what you have, or you can give God 10% and be left with 90%, and he will take responsibility for making the ends meet. But as long as you're not willing to take that step of faith, guess what? He's going to say, fine, let me know how that's working for you. And when you have more money than you have a month, when things just aren't working out, when you're working three jobs, and if you would just trust me here, okay, I will make all grace abound to you so that at all times you will have all sufficiency to meet all needs. And when the next giving opportunity comes, you'll have an abundance to give to that opportunity as well. You want to live that way? Listen, don't confuse me with the prosperity theologians. I'm not that, but I don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, all right? God's character doesn't change. His economics do not change. We don't give in order to get. We give out of a loving response to the grace of God in our lives, but don't ignore a proportional gift yields a proportional response from God. How big of a blessing do you want? We could go on further, but I'm running out of time. We're not looking for donations. Jesus isn't looking for donations. He's looking for disciples. Fully devoted followers of Jesus who are willing to let him do some radical, surgery on the heart. And if he detects anything of money and wealth and material possessions in there that is crowding out his singular right to sit on the throne of our hearts, he'll go after it. He'll go after it. But here's the beauty of it. When you resolve once and for all to be a faithful steward of what God has entrusted to you, you are stepping into an adventure. You can't even begin to understand what God's going to do in your life. Because the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Nothing pleases him more than faith. And when we step out in financial faith, that stretches us. That's why I say to those of you who have gotten comfortable tithing, time to stretch again. Time to stretch again. And as you stretch your faith, God will take you to places, and always make sure you're taken care of, and he will show up in ways. Test me now in this, he says. Test me and watch what I will do. You just stand back and watch what I'll do. Amen.
Thanks so much for being with us for today's Something Good radio message, Resolving the Stewardship of Your Treasure. And I'm pleased to welcome in Dr. Ron Jones. Ron, as we wrap up this 3-message series, is there anything you'd like to add or expound on, either from today's message or from the series in general?
I sure do, Brian. There's so much I could say, but I want to go back to something I mentioned earlier in today's broadcast. Studies show that only 5% of church-going people tithe, that is, give 1/10 of their income to the Lord as a starting point in their giving. Only 5%, Brian. Think of all the underfunded ministries in the church. Now, let's pretend, just for the sake of mathematics, that every churchgoer made the exact same amount of money each year. That means that if every churchgoer tithed, the church would be bringing in 20 times more than it is today. Now, think of all the good that we could do in our neighborhoods and in our communities, all the help we could give to those in need. In fact, as we wrap up this series, let me just quickly point out three things that would happen and what those three things would potentially mean for the cause of Christ. First, 20 times more money for the church would mean that homeless people and widows and orphans and those who are scraping by, all these groups of people in desperate need in our communities all across America, they would have a much better chance of having their needs met. Not to mention how many more churches we could plant, how many more missionaries we could send out. That's number one. Secondly, because God promises to bless all those who tithe, this new group of tithers, this additional 95% of the church, would be blessed beyond anything they ever could have imagined. They would be sending out more money, of course, but amazingly, they'd have more than they did before. That's how biblical economics works. Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." The measure by which you give is the measure by which it will be given back to you. And very likely, they'll also receive more joy and more peace and more of all the best gifts that God has to offer. That's His promise, and He never fails to keep His promise. That leads to the third thing. Now, remember, in this example, every churchgoer is by now already tithing, but 6 months or a year or 5 years from now, after God begins to bless this group of tithers that is now 20 times larger than before, guess what else happens, Brian? 10% of their collective income will be far more than it is right now. The growth would be astronomical. And with that money, God's church would simply be meeting physical needs of a far greater number of people. We would be planting more churches, sending more missionaries. It would open the door for worldwide evangelism and even local neighborhood evangelism to a greater number of people than ever before. Ultimately, Brian, leading people to Jesus Christ is what it's all about. I've said for a long time that we give the gospel away free of charge in the church, but nothing is more expensive than giving the gospel away free of charge. And God has designed it for His people to give, to put Him first in their finances. And then He has a way of blessing us beyond our wildest imagination as the work of God is carried out through His church.
What a wonderful world that would be, Ron. Think of all the good the church could do if even half of all Christians gave God 10% of their income. I encourage anyone listening who isn't tithing, just give it 3 months. 10% of your gross income for 3 months, give it to the church. Then sit back and watch what God does. Ron, let's turn our attention to your next series, in which you do a deep dive into the armor of God. Now, there's something that can help us choose joy. Putting on the full armor of God every day. Set that series up for us as we wrap up today's edition of Something Good.
Well, Brian, if there's one thing we've been reminded of over the past several years, it's that life can be filled with challenges we never saw coming. It's true that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. No, our battle is against Satan and the powers of darkness. And to win this battle, we've got to be dressed for it. So for the next 3 weeks, I'll be unpacking Ephesians chapter 6, which tells us exactly how to overcome our adversary, the devil. I'll go through every piece of battle gear God asks His people to put on in hopes of helping every believer in Christ prepare himself or herself for victory over our true enemy, the devil himself.
The series is called Armored, Dressed for Victory in Spiritual Warfare. And Ron kicks it off tomorrow in his message, The Invisible War. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for listening.